Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the center. The CFT is producing a special series of podcasts highlighting student projects across a variety of disciplines. In this episode, Nancy Chick, Assistant Director at the CFT, shares a phone conversation with Emily Cook about her work developing an interactive touchscreen photography exhibit for Vanderbilt's Central Library. We now join their conversation.
Let's start. First, describe what your project was and why you did it.
Well, basically, my role was to assist with the curatorial development of an exhibit, which was intended for the library's interactive touchscreen, which is kind of part of the library's larger exhibit program. And the specific exhibit that I was working on was a collection of 120 digitized photographs taken by nationally celebrated photojournalist Jack Lord. And the photographs documented the lives of men, women, and children living in coal mining regions in Appalachia from about 1956 to 2003, so over the second half of the 20th century. And I guess my job was really to narrow down the selection of photographs because we had 120, but we couldn't put all of those up on the interactive. And so I had to narrow down that number to about 50 and write the descriptions of the photographs and their metadata, so like the location and time and dates and everything for the exhibit. And so that was, in a nutshell, what the job description was. But what I didn't, I guess, realize until I got into the project and really started was that it would be about much more than just putting an exhibit together, but it was really going to be more about weaving a story and selecting photographs in a way that each one would tell its own story, but also that they would all connect, and together they would compose kind of a larger message. And I think that was Mr. Korn's goal himself in all of his visits that he made out to different mining communities. I think that was really his goal too. So I wanted to parallel that with the exhibit.
That's interesting. So do you think that the story that is told in that exhibit, do you think it's exclusively his story, or is there a little bit of your signature in that story?
Well, I think one thing that I wanted to make sure that, because he had been so generous to give his collection to the library, I did want to make sure that his voice as, you know, the photographer was coming through. And so one of the really neat aspects of this talk was that I got to have kind of close communication with Mr. Korn, and I actually got to meet with him in person, and he approved the photographs that I had selected. So I guess the way it worked was I selected the photographs, so that was kind of my initiative, and then he just would approve and make sure I was like on the right track. And then later in the process, once I began writing the descriptions for each of the photographs, I would send him the text that I had written up until that point, and he would kind of look over it and edit it. And if, you know, there was a key point that he thought needed to be made, he would say, oh, you could mention this as well, or if I had a date wrong or something like that. Just things like that he would review. But I would say it was largely, I definitely think it was my own project, but it was definitely under his guidance, which I was grateful for because I wanted to make sure that I was communicating in weaving together his photographs, that I was communicating what he intended to communicate when he first snapped the photo.
So this project was a project for the library, but it wasn't strictly for a course. So somewhere in there was probably a learning goal in mind. What do you think you were supposed to learn from this project?
Well, I think there were a number of learning objectives to be realized throughout the process. For one, I definitely think that the goal was sort of to introduce the student to the curatorial process. And kind of as I mentioned before, it was really more than what I thought it was going to be. It was so much more than just, okay, sitting down, picking photographs, putting them together, and then writing up a little text for them. You know, once you really got into it, it was looking at all the photographs and saying, okay, what's the message here to be told? What's the story that we want to tell? And then the second part of that was addressing how to present that information. And that was something that I feel like I learned the most about, was learning the right questions to ask and learning to sort of think in terms of how is someone who's viewing this exhibit going to be viewing it? Would they be kind of just a casual observer flipping through, and would they look at photographs at random, or are they going to read it like a story? And so in asking myself those questions, I was able to then kind of come up with the best way to present the information for the audience. And so I think that was probably the main learning objective, was just to become familiar with the curatorial process. But I also think there were a lot of other things that I learned.
What are some of the other things that you learned?
Definitely thinking and focusing about how I need to present the information in order to reach the most amount of people. Another thing, actually, was it was definitely an exercise in concise writing. We were limited by the FireSign software, which we used for the interactive. So, for example, in the description field, you have like the description of the photograph. We were limited to 1,000 characters, and so I had really to make the most out of that space. As a political science and French major with more paper assignments than I knew what to do with myself, I was kind of used to extending my argument and kind of expanding it and drawing it out in my papers. This was kind of almost an exercise in the reverse, and making sure that each word had a specific reason for being there. It definitely helped my writing skills.
What about the visual element of this project? You make a good point about those tiny but powerful paragraphs that you had to write. But then what about dealing with visual images and that idea of creating or drawing out the narrative from those visual images and then putting them in an order that makes some kind of sense? How did that visual element appeal to you? What was different about it to you?
I just spent a good amount of time poring over these photographs and really becoming almost emotionally involved myself with the images. My connection that I kind of developed with those photographs was an important part of me really wanting to make it in such a way that another viewer would have that same kind of emotional reaction that I had when I first was looking at them. I decided on dividing the photographs into subcategories. There were Appalachia, and those were photographs of the land and of the terrain, and really showed the environmental impact that mining had. Another category was life in the mines, which really showed the miners themselves and the dirt and soot on their faces and how tired they were and the conditions that they were working in. Another category was beyond the mines, which showed a lot of other cultural aspects of Appalachia. There are some great photographs of a wood carver, which I especially liked, students at a voting table, things like that that I thought were relevant because they showed all aspects of their lives. There was a category called family and home, which was particularly compelling for me, and it showed mothers and children and the conditions in which they were living. And then there was a school children category, which I loved because it really showed the youthful innocence of these children, and there were pictures of them laughing and playing in one-room schoolhouses. And then the last category was legislative action, which I thought was a really important piece of the story. As Mr. Cohen was a photojournalist, I thought it was important to also convey what steps were being taken to alleviate a lot of the problems that were coming out of this situation in Appalachia. I ultimately decided to divide the photographs into these categories because I felt like I thought that this visually the images were connected. One image might have been of a family taken in 1956 and another 1967, for example. However, visually they were connected and kind of were telling the same sort of story. that was definitely one of my most favorite aspects of the job, was kind of figuring that out and telling the story.
So what is a political science and French major who's next going to law school doing working on photographs?
Well, it seems like there's really no connection, but at first I was really intrigued merely for the writing and research aspects. But then as I delved deeper and deeper into the content, I also was really, as a poli sci major, interested in, you know, the socio-political elements of these photographs. I love writing, and so I love kind of using words to tell this story. But then, as you mentioned, there was the visual aspect of it, too, and really becoming emotionally involved and connected with the photographs. So all of those things combined made for interesting project, and I was definitely, it definitely far exceeded my expectations.
I want to circle back around to something you mentioned. You mentioned audience, that you really had to think about being clear for anyone. Can you talk a little bit more about how your sense of audience changed or grew during this project and why?
You know, typically in your assignments, your classes, your audience is really one person. It's the professor or maybe a teaching assistant. Or maybe your peers if there's some sort of peer editing review process. So that was the biggest, I think, departure from just my normal classes. And this project was, at first, felt as if my audience was Celia Walker, who was helping me as I was going along. I would check in with her and make sure I was still on track. And she would give me sort of the green light to keep going and, you know, say that, yes, this sounds great, let's keep moving forward. It felt as though she was my main audience. But then, really, as the project was really being developed, I started to realize that, as you said, the audience is much larger than that, and it was much more than just one set of eyes. It would be for anyone walking through, any person of any age, or a student, or a professor, or anyone. And so that was probably one of the most motivating aspects about it, was it wasn't just for a grade, and it wasn't just for one person, but it was really something that I hope will be lasting and will be able to reach all kinds of people.
Do you think that lesson or that idea affected your other assignments at the time, or if it'll affect how you handle your activities in law school?
My experience in working with Mr. Korn and in being able to communicate with the donor himself, I think that kind of relationship is really applicable to, you know, a number of fields, whether it's an attorney speaking with a client and wanting to understand their needs and their concerns or their situation, or a doctor working with a patient, or a publisher working with an author. It's kind of, might not be exactly the same kind of relationship, but in a way, it kind of parallels the relationship that I had in listening to Mr. Korn and what he was trying to convey, and then making sure that I was conveying that in a sense for him. So I think that I'll be able to take that away, especially.
That's fantastic, Emily. Those are the only questions I have, so yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. You can view the show notes as well as leave comments or questions about this episode by visiting cft.vanderbilt.edu/blog/podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT consultant to talk about ways you can incorporate student projects in your class. Thanks again for listening. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.